Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews 6. Give me a moment to let's kind of pick up here. Let's see if we can go a little further. This is a certainly not a. I mean, this is what I call some of the meat of the word. As we get into this, it could. I guess if it's not explained the proper way, it could certainly cause some confusion. But we pray that that we'll be able to kind of sort through this together. Verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And again, our Christian journey should be bringing us to a place of perfection. A Christian journey just doesn't bring us to church and just leave us, you know, in the pews. But this is to bring us to a place where we are acting like Christ. We're living like him. We're expressing him. You know, we are his hands. We are his feet. We are his body. We have to be like Jesus, right? And that's what Christianity is all about. So Paul is telling us, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit, for it is impossible. And that's a very, very strong statement there. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And one of the statements that we're driving at there is that if you're truly a child of God, it's not saying that you can't backslide, but what it is saying is that somewhere down the line, God gonna get you and you have to come back, right? If you're truly a child of God, you because God cannot lose you. That's what that is. God cannot lose you. So if you're truly a child of God, you backslide, he gonna get you somewhere, and you're gonna pay for, you know, whatever you've done, whatever you sowed, you're gonna have to reap. But if you're truly a child of God, he gonna find you somewhere. He can. It's his promise word that he cannot lose you. You're part of him. And when we look at other people, like, well, look at them. They look like they were lost. You know, you have to kind of weigh those things. And I think you can look at some things. There's some people that might leave here a little early before their time. There's some people that they might go through some things. It's like a really quick, like, man, they got sick and they was gone just like that. What happened? You know, you look at things like that, like, well, that might be the hand of God that's involved in that, because they couldn't get that person to turn around, right? And I've been talking about this for the past few weeks, and I'm going to start tonight. I'm going to read this testimony because I think it's something that'll be beneficial to help us. Because, you know, sometimes you have loved ones that you might have questions about. And like, you know, well, this happened, that happened, and, you know, they didn't die in good graces. But God can, you know, God has a way of just doing some things to kind of settle your heart, right? But I will tell you this, if you're truly a seed of God, born of God, you wouldn't want to live on the edge, you know, you want to live for him and do everything you can to serve him. That's really what you want to do as a child of God. So let's go on here in verse 7, for the earth with which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receive the blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh to cursing, whose end is to be burned. And we talked about that last week. You could have two people in the church. One is a genuine Christian, both of them manifesting in gifts of the Spirit. One is a genuine Christian. One is a genuine devil. but they both in the church, and you're trying to figure out, well, you know, which one is God and which one is not. Well, the Bible tells us very clearly, by their fruit you shall know them, right? So even though they might be manifested in gifts and things of that nature, don't get caught up on that, right? Watch the fruit that are in their life. I mean, they could have a genuine gift, and yes, it is of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost's rain falls on the just and the unjust. Both of them get rain, right? But the unjust in this particular situation would be where the scripture says one, like one would be wheat, one would be thorns, right? So the unjust would be thorns. They both get in rain. They both come into maturity, but one is manifesting wheat, one is manifesting thorns. Amen. All right, let's keep going. Verse 8, but that which bear thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. The end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And that's one thing we have to learn to do, is patiently endure in order to obtain. God is not like the microwave. You don't pop something in and get it out in 30 seconds. Because, you know, when we do things like that, actually, we do not develop in our patience. We don't develop in our patience. So, amen. Glory to God. Amen. If we had a little bit more patience, we wouldn't be fussing people out all the time in traffic. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can't take nothing on the road. Right. Amen. If we had a little bit more patience, it wouldn't be that way. Amen. Yeah, I mean, my God, your horn just blowing like crazy. They just turned. That's all they did. But just please, we need more patience, church. We need that. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. And that's the key thing here. It's impossible for God to lie. If God said all that the Father's given me will come, they're coming. It's impossible for God to lie, right? If God made a promise to you for your children, whatever, don't look at the condition, look at the promise, right? It's impossible for God to lie, right? If you are the apple of his eye, that's who you are, right? And he's not changing his mind just because you do something that you weren't supposed to do. You'll pay for it. But he certainly still has his eye on you. He still has his heart on you. Who would not love a God like that? Amen. Who would not love a God like that? This is a real love story when you really look at it. And it says, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. And this is what we're trying to do, is give that strong consolation. Because sometimes the devil tell you that you did this and God don't love you no more. If God loved you in the beginning, he's going to love you in the end. Nothing you do changes his love. Nothing. That's a powerful statement. But you cannot change God's love. Amen. It's good to know that God can love you like that. Amen. But we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. And all of this goes together, right? That strong consolation gives you an anchor in the soul. And we got an anchor in the soul no matter what you're going through. And even when the devil just giving you what for and telling you, you know, you did this and you did that and you can't be this and you can't be that. You got an anchor in your soul. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going right back to church, and I'm gonna sit right there and just enjoy the presence of the Lord. This life is better than any other life that you have to offer, right? So he says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, where the forerunners for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I remember the prophet one time making a statement a while ago, and he was saying, I'm going to go on to slide 9, start me there. But he had made a statement that he would live for the Lord even if he knew that at the end he was going to die and God was going to send him to hell. And I could not understand now, man, if you knew that you were going to hell and you would still serve God, he said, yes, I would still serve him. You know, even if I knew I was going to hell at the end of the road, because this life is better than any other life that the devil can offer me. So I'm like, that's true love, right? That's true love for God, that you'll serve him no matter what. And we all need to kind of have that resolve. So here, slide 9 is just to quickly go over that and bring it out again in verse 7 and 8 here, where it says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off to pun it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receive a blessing from God, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is we burn. We hit this on last week, and again, you see the same rain that makes the wheat grow, makes the cocklebur grow, and therefore I got the picture. This is your carnal confessor. That's right in the church. So you got a carnal confessor right in the church. And this is really the problem, because people look at the carnal confessors that are right in the church, and they see all of their flaws and all their mistakes, and then they talk about Christianity because they're looking at the carnal confessor, right? You're not looking at the real Christian, but you're looking at the carnal confessor, and you're lining that and saying, how can that be real? Look at them. Well, yeah, you're gonna have both of them in the church. They both gonna be there. And I always tell people, rather than sit around and criticize others for not doing what they supposed to be doing according to the word, why don't you become our example and show us how to do it? Amen. Show us how to do it. Live it, you know. And then talk it, you live it, right? And then we'll know how to follow you, all right? So here it is. There's your carnal confessor that's right in the church, but his fruits, he might shout, jump, dance, speak with tongues, but his fruits, he's a cocklebur. And there's the other one that's got the same spirit. The Holy Spirit can drop right in a bunch of people, and a hypocrite can shout by the Holy Spirit just the same as a cocklebur can live by the rain that's sent. So a hypocrite can shout, and a true, genuine person can shout. Both of them get blessings, you know, from the Holy Ghost, right? That's what Paul is speaking of here, but it's impossible for a cocklebur to become a wheat, right? Your nature has to change in order for you to be wheat, right? And you have to be born wheat. Praise the Lord. He says, impossible for a cocklebur to become a wheat, or wheat a cocklebur. You get it? And this is what he's trying to say here. If you truly, absolutely belong to God, you cannot be lost. Cannot be. You won't be, right? And if you did backslide, like I said, if he had to take you out of this earth a little early, he'll do it. He'll do it. And sometimes you can see that happen to people. You know, they get, you know, man, what happened here in their life? And, you know, they kind of get caught up with some things, but they be gone real quick. And they're gone real quick. I want to just read a testimony on that. And this testimony is actually in our Word document there. I think I have it right on the testimony. Just bear with me here. I've been referring to this, and I want to hit this right out of the gate tonight, and then hopefully we'll just see where things go from there. All right, let me just find it. Okay. So it says, Now, if you commit sin here, you're going to pay for it. So just keep coming in my mind. I just got to tell it. I've tried to quench it off four or five times. I have to say it. How many remembers this brother, pastor, that used to be over here at the Church of God? Brother right up here. What was his name? Worked for Varang down there. Oh, you are the first Church of God right here on the corner, or used to sell Raleigh in times of the Depression. Real godly, saintly man. Now, this was his testimony in the community. Real godly, saintly man. Brother Smith took his place up there. I'll call his name in a few minutes. He was a God-saved man. Remember, if you don't walk up to the correction and you do something wrong as a Christian, God will warn you. And then if you don't take the warning, he would just take you right off the earth. That's what he done. And it goes on. Says, you remember in the Bible, look at that Corinthian church. He told them what they was positionally in Christ, but he warned them of what was going to happen. And they corrected themselves, got straightened out with God. And this little brother, when he's referring to, I believe it might be 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul was trying to get something straightened out in the church. I think it was a man that was sleeping with his stepmom. And I was like, no, that's wrong. You can't do that, you know. And so the man went in the book of Corinthians, the man actually got correction. And then later on, you know, he was restored. Right. But oftentimes there's some people that get their hearts so hard that they can't take correction. Right. They can't take correction. So listen to this. Said this little brother, he was a wonderful little brother, I believe, a God-saved man. And he got him a job down here at Varang's. If some of his people are sitting here, I hope you don't think that. I don't know if you're sitting here, but Ramsey, Brother Ramsey. How many remembers Brother Ramsey up here at the Church of God? Sure you do. Wonderful little man. And he used to come to my house and we'd talk together and we'd sit there and weep and hold one another's hands. A real Christian. See, he can tell just by the experience that he had with the man that this man was genuine, right? So as one day I went into it down there. Just come from overseas in a meeting, had my car checked up. Brother Ramsey said, what can I do for you, Billy? I said, check her up, Brother Ramsey. Change the oil. Okay, he said, fire and dandy. He said, you have a nice meeting? Now, look at what he's talking about. He's talking about the meeting. You have a nice meeting? I said, oh, Brother Ramsey, it was wonderful. I said, I wish you could go with me sometime. Why don't you go with me? He said, I don't serve the Lord no more, Billy. I looked around. I said, what you say? He just kind of said, I don't serve him no more, and walked away. I thought, oh, he's just going on. I went on and went somewhere, come back and got in my car. I come up home. I began to think about that. I don't serve the Lord no more. The Lord put it on my heart to go back and ask him again. So I said, Mita, just hold the fort. And I got in my car, went back down, stopped again, went into Varang's. I said, Brother Ramsey, I want to ask you a question. I said, all right, Billy, what is it? I said, you said a while ago you don't serve the Lord no more. You was just teasing me, wasn't you? He said, no. I said, Brother Ramsey, you don't mean that. He said, yes. I said, don't you love him? He said, if I loved him, I'd serve him. Wouldn't I, Billy? Walked away. I thought, say, Brother Ramsey said, I don't want to talk no more about it. See, he's being warned right there. I went home, went in the room, shut the door. And, oh, you know how you feel real heavy, like you've taken the cookies away from a baby or something, you know? I thought, well, what? It can't be. Surely something has happened to Brother Ramsey. And there's a little colored boy named Jimmy. He comes here to the church, got one leg, you know, he limps. Kind of, I forget his name, works down there at Varang's, runs a record. He met me and he said, you know, Reverend Branham, he said, I don't know about this here Dr. Ramsey around here. He said, I told him another day, said, we was all scared to even open our mouth around here. Said, you was a godly man. But said he took his preacher's license and went over to the basket and tore them apart and threw them in the basket. Said, I don't want nothing to do with it no more. He said, hey, mister. Said, you oughtn't to do that. He said, oh, Jim, I'm through serving the Lord. So he went on, said, you don't mean that. And said, then he told me, said, he's coming down to grind his valves on Labor Day, I believe it was. And he said, now, I want you to come help me, Jim. He said, I'll help you after I come from church. That man had conviction. I'll help you after I come, not skip church to do it, but after I come from church. But first, I is going to church. Amen. We need more Jimmies. Said he went back down, and Mr. Ramsey was grinding the valves on his car. He said, "Jimmy, slip over the river. The saloons is closed here. Slip over the river and get me a case of beer." He said, "Mr. Ramsey, I has been guilty of many things, but never will I be guilty of getting a servant of the Lord a case of beer." The man is in a backslidden condition, and the people still calling him a servant of the Lord. That you done live something for people to say that about you when you backslide. You done live something, right? Listen, it says, I'll never will I be guilty of getting a servant of the Lord a case of beer. He said, "No, sir, I'll never do that." He said, "Well, go on, get it, Jim." He said, "Mr. Ramsey, I grind your valves, but if you get any beer, you go get it yourself." He said, "I ain't gonna never get a servant of the Lord anything like that." Now, that was a warning to that man. To hear somebody tell him something like that, that was a warning. But you can see that devil just working on him, pushing him a little further, right? So Ramsey jumped in Jimmy's car, took over the river, come back half teed up with a case of beer drinking it. He started going down and got sick, see? God couldn't speak to him. I warned him. I done everything I could. Brother Smith went to him and warned him. Everybody tried to do everything they could for him. Still, he just shook his head. What happened? He took sick and died. That showed that he was a saved man. What? He took sick and died, and that showed that he was a saved man. Listen, if God could not make him, bring him in obedience, he will have to take him out of the earth and bring him home. That's exactly what the Bible said. That's what the Bible promises. If you won't stand correction, you've got to come on home. So God cannot lose you after he saved you, but he can shorten your days here and make you pay for every sin you've done. So if you sin, you're gonna have to pay for what you've done. Just remember that. But if he belonged to God, he could not be lost. Couldn't be lost, even in that condition. And I'll give you another one, just right in your Bible. A man that was just completely wrong, but was not lost. Saul. Saul had told them to get all the witches out of the land. And Saul went down there to the witch of Endor and had her call up the prophet Samuel. Samuel comes up from the grave, prophesies to Saul and tells him, "By this time tomorrow, you'll be with me." Now, Samuel was a prophet. And if Saul was going to be with Samuel, wherever Samuel was, Saul had to be there. Amen. And I can tell you at that time where he was a place called paradise, right? That's where he was in paradise. Because those that died in the faith before Jesus died and rose again, they went to paradise. That's why Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Say, this day you'll be with me in paradise." So they went to paradise. But now paradise was emptied out after Jesus rose again. It doesn't exist anymore, right? So, but where Saul was, Samuel was, Saul was. And Saul died in a backslidden state. Yeah, but he belonged to God. That's deep, y'all. It's deep. But I tell you what, when you realize God loves you that much, you can't go and serve him. You can't stop serving him and do something just out there. And if your mindset is, "Well, if I belong to God, he's going to call me anyway." No, you don't belong nowhere. You know, you got that type of attitude. That's not even love. That's not even love. So, this is what this is saying. Let's go on a little further here, amen, in our study. Let's see. If you can click next for me. I'm going on to 12. Okay. All right, so Hebrews 6, just kind of focusing on verse 9 through 10, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation through though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So this statement that I want to just bring here, see what he's talking about. He's not talking about Christians falling away, impossible to come back. He's talking about carnal believers who go through the form of reformation. But he said to you who was born again, you who are Christians, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. You don't say those things. You don't live that type of life. You're secured with Christ. So when Paul is talking of this, amen, in Hebrews 6, he's not talking to the Christian, amen. He's talking to, amen, the carnal believer that's going through the Reformation. Okay, another statement that he makes here, I don't act clean and pure and holy to make myself a Christian. And that's something different, right? You don't act clean, pure, and holy to make yourself a Christian. You got to have this thing on the inside of you, right? This thing got to come from the inside. And when it's on the inside, it manifests itself on the outside, right? You know, when you talk about don't act clean, pure, and holy, you know, you can give people the rules, and they can do everything that you ask them to do and look like it's real, right? It can look very real. But what happens is that the trial is coming. And oftentimes we think, oh yeah, we done hit it. No, you don't know what. There's something coming that's gonna hit your life, and you're gonna have to prove whether you're really a Christian or not, whether you really got it or not. Everybody gonna go through that. Amen, church. Glory to God. Listen, I don't act clean and pure and holy to make myself a Christian. But Christ in me lives that in me. And I love him. And if I do anything wrong, it condemns me. Right there, I say, God, forgive me. Every day I got to ask forgiveness. Every day. But this thing that's in me, it's not me living it. It's God in me living this. I'm going to tell you, when you get to the point where God is in you living it, the life becomes easy. Oh, no, it's not a struggle. Right? I mean, somebody was asking me that just a few weeks ago. Like, you know, is it really hard to live a Christian life? No, it's an easy life to live. It's the best life to live. It's not hard. Yeah, I'm gonna have trials, but you know what? People that don't serve God have trials. They end up in hospitals just like people that do serve God, right? We all got trials. It's just I got hope in my trial. I got peace. And even if I were to die in this trial, I still come out victorious, right? I mean, I can't lose. This is the best life I have found. You know, and even I think Paul talked about the life I now live. That means he was living something else before, but the life I now live. And when you get that, when it's him living it through you, it become real easy. You so yielded, you just allow him to just be him, just express himself through you. That's what this is all about. This is not no struggle. I got to struggle to do this. And I got to struggle. I got to make sure, you know, I don't do this. And I got to make. No, what are you talking about? if you doing all that, you missing something. You missing something. Praise the Lord. And man, this should just be so natural. So it just happens. Praise the Lord. Amen. Like turning on water at a water faucet. Turning on, you expect water to flow. Amen. You wake up in the morning, we expect to see a Christian. Praise the Lord. Not you know, you invited to some event and you struggling as to what you're going to wear to that event. Because, what are you talking about? You Christian. You know what to wear. Go on out there and do what you do. And don't be ashamed of who you are. You're a Christian. Praise the Lord. My God. If you're struggling like that, you need to hit the altar. God, Lord, I want this thing to be real. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. All right. And I think the scripture Paul even say later on, say the commands of God are not grievous. It's not hard for us to do this. This should be easy. Amen. Well, I know, I don't know if that was last week or I don't know when I said it, but some of y'all old pictures y'all need to get rid of. You think about, you know, where, I just want to remind myself where God brought me from. No, stop looking backwards. Look back where he's taking you to, not where he brought you from. As you start looking at him, next thing you go to lusting. Yeah, I remember. No, remember what? Somebody being anointed you in a conversation, and now you're talking about that, and you shouldn't be talking. Next thing you know, you done snuck to the drawer somewhere and got something out of the drawer. You should have got rid of that a long time ago. You know, Achan got something hidden in the camp. Some of our saints got stuff hidden in the camp. Get rid of it. Do some spring cleaning. Get rid of that. Them old outfits, let them go. You ain't going back to them. God delivered you from that. I'm going to just give this to somebody that got this, they the same build as me. They wear my size just in case. Just in case. What? And we talk about being real, y'all. Going on to perfection. Man, church shouldn't be struggling in these areas no more. The church shouldn't. You shouldn't be struggling. We should be way, way up the road. Way up the road. Amen. Glory to God. I don't want to be no borderline Christian. I want to be real. We can be borderline, you know. Don't do that. I mean, there's borderline believers. They were borderline Israelites, and what they did was they didn't go all the way to the promised land. They got right to the borderline and said, we'll take this. We'll take this. And Moses had to give them some instruction. Like, no, I got that even right here in my notes. I don't even know if I'm going to get there. But Moses had to say, you know, be sure your sins will find you out because they're coming to the borderline. And he's like, no, y'all got to do this. Y'all got to do that. Y'all got to do this. And they should have never stayed on the borderline. They should have came over into the promised land. Don't think your idea is better than God's idea. Let me say that again. Don't think your ideas are better than God's idea. And you feel like you got to help God out. Don't ever do that. You'll pay for that. Amen. And like I say, when it comes to the way that we dress, the way we present ourselves, there should be no struggling. We ought to be dead to that. We ought to be dead to that. I mean, you know, we do it just a little bit with our nails, make it look like we ain't got no paint on it. But just enough. Now, come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. We got to go beyond that. We talk about perfection. And if we're still struggling in those areas, we're missing something. Amen. I remember when we used to go to church, that's all they preach was about how the sister's supposed to dress. But when we start maturing, you learn how to do that. You don't have to worry about that no more. But then every once in a while, we backslide. Right back down into it again. The word ain't going to change. The word ain't going to change. The same word is still here. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. You get scared. And that's the reason fear companies doubt, love companies faith. I love my Father. I'm not afraid of him because I love him. He wouldn't hurt me. He would do good for me if I was scared of him. And, oh, I don't know whether he would do it or not. See, but I love him. Yes, Father, I love you, and I know you're my Father, and you love me, and I'm not afraid. But what you'll keep your word is your promise to me. That's the way the Spirit of God does. But, oh, if I did this, if I did that. See, there you come to the legal side again. Never go to the legal side. It's negative, right? If you're sitting there thinking, if I do this, if I do that, maybe I got to do that. No. Just what I'll advise you, always do the right thing. always do the right thing. Don't do nothing, amen, that's going to make it questionable. Don't do that. Praise the Lord. Do the right thing. God will bless it. Even when the right thing hurt, do it anyway. But when you compromise, trust me, you're going to pay for it. It might not happen immediately, but over time, you'll see what that decision was. Praise the Lord. Don't just do the right thing. Always. Look at this. He goes on to make another comment. It says the positive side is what you want. It's already a finished work. Christ died and sin was killed when he died. And if God foreordained you to eternal life, all the Father has given me will come to me. There you are. Can't be lost. You're secured forever. For by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. By one sacrifice he has perfected forever. There you are. There's no way for us to lose correctly now. Don't it make you feel good? All right, let me see here. Brother Branham left a lot here. I'll pick up a couple quotes in here. When he preached this sermon, I told you he preached it three times, three parts to it. So there's a lot in here. I'm going to go to the quotes for slide 12, and I'm going to start at paragraph 379 on that. Slide 12. And then I'm going to go to paragraph 379 on that. It says, see what he's talking about. He's not talking about Christians falling away, impossible to come back. He's talking about the carnal believer who go through the form of reformation. But he said to you who was born again, you who are Christian, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. You don't say those things. You don't live that type of life. You're secured with Christ. What did he say back there? Now, let's go to Hebrews 10, where we was at this morning. And so let's turn over to Ephesians 4:30. And let's get this just a minute. And watch this. Says to back this up, to make scripture go with scripture, Ephesians 4. Let's see, Ephesians 4:30. Let's read and see what it says. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Huh? How we baptize into the body, one spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of your redemption. That's right. You're sealed into the body of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not from one revival to another one, but until the day of the body of redemption. That's what you are. So there's no way for you to be lost. I mean, when you're really, really baptized with the Holy Ghost, no way for you to be lost. Now, I got to say this. Just because you get one feeling don't mean you should not get any refillings. If you ever went to the gas station and filled up your car one time, you drive for a week, you got to go back to that same gas station or to another gas station, and you need to get a refilling. Otherwise, your car is going to be on the side of the road. And people be wondering, why your car? I ain't got no gas in it. And all you had to do is just put some more gas in it. The thing of it is the car is not even useful for you if you don't do just simple things like that. And this Christian life, you're not going to experience all the benefits of it until you go through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen, church. Right? And I'm not talking about no play Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the real thing that make you live like Jesus. And I mean, I could tell y'all testimonies that when I was filled, I can tell you testimonies when I got a refilling. That should be part of our conversation. Some of us, all we can say, I remember God touched me one time. You, all these services you've been in, you only been touched one time. What are we going to church for? And notice the scripture. You know, when you read there in Hebrews 6, it said the rain fall oft upon the earth. Oft. Not just one time. Oft. Amen. So, I mean, we ought to be looking for that. Every time we come through these church doors, we ought to be looking for God to meet us here. Every time. We ought to, you know, we got to be the ones to create the atmosphere, y'all. We ain't got to wait for no special service before God do something for us. Now, every time we walk through them doors, we ought to be looking for God to do something. And you know what? If you're going to wait to a special service to create an atmosphere, why can't you just do that every time we come here? Amen, church. Right? But we can't go with this experience that we had 25 years ago, 2 years ago. I can't even go with what I got 2 months ago. I need more right now. Amen, church. So, I mean, we want the rain to fall oft, because that's what changes the condition. Right? I mean, I got problems with my grass right now. They're sending me letters talking about my grass. I'm like, look, man, the winter is the winter. What you want me to do? Right. So, but I had to go out there and buy myself one of these little things. My sprinklers running, but I had to buy one of them things that just kind of circulate in the yard, trying to get my grass to go back green again. I need the rain to fall oft. Otherwise, my grass get a little brown. My life get a little dry. I get a little sticky because Brother Branham even said this, out in the desert when you got these little stickers, the reason them stickers are out there because they lack rain. Uh-huh. And he said a sticker is nothing but a leaf that's dried up and just kind of, if you want to say compress, you know. But he said if you take that sticker, put it in water, it'll open up again. Back to a leaf, and some of us need to open up again. And the only way we're going to open up again is we need some more Holy Ghost. You know when we all know we need it. Our decisions tell us that we need it. You know what happens? Because that old nature that died, he started coming back. It's the truth. And some of the decisions that you wouldn't have made years ago, you making them now because your experience done dried up. That's right. And if you had a fresh experience, it'd be like, no, I'm staying away from that. No, I'm not. But you done let that thing dry up. You need to be pressing to get back into something. Amen, church. I mean, we need this to fall oft. Not no one time, two time. We want it oft. Every time we come here, we want God moving. Amen. But your experience dry up. You need a fresh experience. And trust me, one filling, many refillings. So when you having conversations, you know, hey, when's the last time God refilled you with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to say, man, on Sunday, man, God did something for me. I'm talking about. Oh Lord, we need one of them can't control your cry, snotting all over the place, huh? I mean, you know these are not drunk as ye suppose, but this is that type service. We need more of that. We need more of that. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. I've experienced them, and I want to continue to experience them. Yes. Amen. I tell you what, the Holy Ghost is in the church to take care of a lot of stuff. Amen. All right. Where am I? I don't even know. I was reading this quote, wasn't I? you're sealed into the body of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not from one revival to another one, but until the day of the body redemption. That's what you are. So there's no way for you to be lost. Let me just see something here. Skip down to paragraph 384. The positive side is what you want. It's already a finished work. Christ died, and sin was killed when he died. And if God foreordained you to eternal life, all the Father's given me will come to me. There you are. Can't be lost. You're secured forever by one Spirit. You're all baptized into one body and by one sacrifice. He's perfected forever. There you are. There's no way for us to lose correctly. Now, don't it make you feel good? And now, how do you know you're a Christian? When your spirit bears record with his spirit, when the love of God is in your heart, when you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, goodness, meekness, that's when you, the fruits of the Spirit is following your life, not because you can dance in the Spirit. Oh, to this modern rhythm, whoop it up on a piano, to a lot of this here dance in the Spirit. Them things are all right, but they took the whole thing over on that legal side. See, and therefore they left the Spirit of God in the back. That's the reason when God began to manifest itself, they said, nonsense, we don't want nothing to do with that. They don't know God. They've never seen it. They can't understand it because there's a different life in there. He doesn't know. Cockabird doesn't know what the wheat is doing. He's a different life. That's the way it is with a Christian to the carnal believer, the confessor who goes out and confesses, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. A big cigar in his mouth like a dehorned Texas steer. A woman with her shorts on say, oh, yes, I'm a member of the church. Sure, I am. Your fruits prove that you're nothing but carnal. That's right. Certainly it is. There's only one thing to allow for that. That's either mental deficiency or a spirit of lust on you. That's right. If you want to act like the world, the Bible said, if you love the world or the things of the world. We used to hear that a lot, didn't we? If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. The problem is we're not even able to separate what's of the world and what's not of the world. We don't even know that no more. Amen. Listen. Jesus, help us, God. It says, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. So there you are. Now you say, oh, the Bible said, then I must do that. No, that's not it. Stay here until Christ has done something for you. Now see, notice that. He said, we'll read our Bible and the Bible say, don't do this or don't do that. And we'll take and do it just because the Bible say don't do it. But if that thing really not rooted in us, if it's not in us, God hasn't really revealed that to us, a trial will come and we'll go right back and we'll go right against that word that we've been told, you know, not to do that. We'll go right against it. We need, we don't need the law in our head. We need it in our hearts. Listen. No, you say, oh, the Bible said, then I must do that. No, that's not it. Stay there until Christ has done something for you that take that out of you. Then you're born of the Spirit of God. Not what you do, it's what he's done for you. Till you get a love that you've passed from death unto life, and then watch your life, it dallies up. Not because you try to make your life, but because God brings you into subjection to his Spirit. It's not you leading yourself in God's way. It's God leading you in his own way. Not you doing the leading, but God doing the leading. God knows we need that. God knows we need that. If I could just encourage us, amen, in the faith. Church, let's look for God. Amen. Let's look for God. Let's expect God. Even when we're praying, we ought to be asking God to just, God, give me a fresh touch. Give me a fresh experience. I don't want to go off my old confession. I know you've done something for me, but I need this rain to fall oft on me, right? It'll keep me, because I'm going to tell you, when you feel his presence closer to you, you handle yourself differently. You're more sensitive, right? You're more sensitive. But when you ain't felt the presence of the Lord, you just kind of do whatever kind of come to your mind, right? But when you feel his presence, you're a little bit more sensitive. You don't want to do nothing that's going to offend him, you know. And not only you don't want to do things that's going to offend him, you don't want to make any decision that might hinder something here in the church. Y'all ain't hearing that. Y'all not really hearing that. But you know, you can set things off a certain way where you can stop the Spirit of God from flowing here. You can stop it. There's things you can do to actually help the Spirit of God, and there's other things you can do to stop the Spirit of God. Right? You hinder the flow of the Spirit. But it's all because, you know, if everybody was drawing closer, it guides you, it leads you, it directs you, it does all that, church. But and that's why we need the Holy Ghost. You don't need I can't be your Holy Ghost. Right? I can't be your Holy Ghost, but you need something that'll just keep you. Like, I mean, and you can just feel it. You know, like when you make it, you get ready to do something, like, oh no, I feel checked on that. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you felt checked? Can I just say anything? The Holy Ghost will stop you from saying stuff you're not supposed to be saying. The Holy Ghost will check you, and you'll be like, oh, some of y'all ain't never felt that before. But I'm serious. You can be in the middle of a conversation, just something just kind of come out of nowhere. Don't you say that. Like, and you'll change the conversation. You just got checked in your spirit. Amen. Right? Your actions can get checked. That's what happens when the Holy Ghost is here. Right? I mean, I'm telling you, by our fruit we're known. And our fruit tell whether we're really producing this life of Christ or are we going through this thing carnally? Are we approaching it carnally? I don't want to be a carnal Christian. I want to be a real Christian. And carnal Christians, they know exactly what to do. They've heard it all their life, and they know how to do this and how to do that. And we not talk about that. You ain't fooling nobody, not even yourself. Be real. Be genuine. I mean, that's what Christ is coming back after, right? We don't play games with this, y'all. Don't play. Either go all the way or just don't go. But don't play games with this. Live it. I mean, really, really live it. Amen. Amen. But I mean, that's why we just need more. Just more of God. Just soaking in his presence. Just constantly, and anything in us, just let God bake it out. I mean, God, if this thing ain't right, I don't want that. I don't want that. I really want to be right with you. We got to walk that way. We got to live like that, church. Man, I'm persuaded better things of you. This is what Paul was saying. I'm persuaded better things of you. Things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. And we ought to be moving into better things. We shouldn't have to be going backwards, church. We should be going forward in God, growing up into perfection. We'll leave it there tonight. We'll pick up let's see something here. Yeah. Okay, yeah, we'll leave it there tonight. We'll pick up Abraham on next time we come together with this. God help us. God help us. Man, let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, we are a people that are so needy. We could never exhaust all that you have for us. God, I know that I need you. I need you more than ever before. I need your touch. I need your direction. I need your leadership. I need your guidance. I need you, God. Father, and I don't ever want to try to get in front of you with the decisions that I make. I always want to stay behind, following the word of God, being led by your spirit. That's what I want to do. And God, sometimes I just got to be patient, just wait on you. Wait for you to do what you want to do. God, my prayer is that your spirit would have the preeminence in this body of believers. You, God, would be able to do the things that you desire in this church. That your love would be expressed from heart to heart. That your spirit would be felt from person to person. God, we want it to be real. We want it to be genuine. And God, only you can make it real. Only you can do that. So we want to submit ourselves. Submit our beings, our every element, all 16 elements of our being, every fiber of our being. We want it to be filled with you. So Lord, have your way in us. It's truly our desire. It's in Jesus' name we pray.